Crunch Time!
Crunch Time!
You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch Time!
Crunch Time!
That's right, Kansas City. Welcome to the Road Show. Crunch Time Road Show. Call your friends. Warn your mother. Warn your relatives. We are on the show. We are ready to go. We have a great show lined up for you. Guys, it's Mother's Day coming up, and we are here at CBD American Shaman, right off of 350 Highway, right next to the Hy-Vee, right here in beautiful Raytown, Missouri. You know, we're 10 minutes from Lee's Summit. We're right here in Raytown, 15 minutes from Blue Springs, about 20 minutes from Kansas City. Come on down and visit us. Get some great stuff for your mom for Mother's Day. You know, they have all the great products that you guys, we've been talking about, but stuff that maybe mom would like. How about some body lotion? How about some body lotion for mom, CBD body lotion? How about some under eye serum? Not that your mom needs the under eye serum, Frank, but not that my mom needs the under eye serum, but it doesn't hurt. You know, if you want to give it to somebody, take away those wrinkles, get that shiny glow back under your eyes. They got chapstick, they got topical serums, and they have, of course, all the different water solubles and vape products. But don't forget your dogs. You know, get something for your mom's dog. You get it right here. They have all kinds of stuff for the dog, all kinds of treats and make your dog feel good. Take the anxiety away. When the anxiety is away from your dog, the anxiety is away from you. And take from a guy who hasn't slept in the last four nights because my dog is afraid of storms. And I've been pumping the thing with CBD oil, and it's finally sleeping. All right? It's finally sleeping. The dog is finally sleeping. It's walking around like where he don't know where he's at half the time, but he's finally sleeping, and things are going good for old Sammy. Frank, I'm just fine. We have an awesome show. Guys, call your friends and tell them, yeah, we're on sometimes at 6 to 7, sometimes from 7 to 8.
That's right.
But we're on from 7 to 8 today because we've got a wonderful Baseball Tonight show. But now we're going to talk Chiefs. We're going to talk American Shaman CBD. By the way, congratulations to American Shaman on Channel 41 News yesterday for the first story for about the first 5 minutes. American Shaman this, American Shaman that. It's the best place in Kansas City. You got to come check it out.
It is. We are at the CBD American Shaman, 9438 East 350 Highway in Raytown, 64113. Don't forget the CBD American Shaman, the highest quality full spectrum cannabidiol on the market. State-of-the-art nanotechnology increases absorption and delivery time of CBD to your bloodstream. Nanotechnology ensures our products are incredibly efficient and cost-effective. Both the legal and lobbying efforts have assured legal access to CBD in both Kansas and Missouri. Yep. We're on the Missouri side of the state line. Uh-huh. Tonight, we'll be back on the Kansas side of the state line next Wednesday. They have two doctors on staff. It's third-party lab tested, grown and processed and extracted right here in the USA. And that's even, all important.
Even better than that, it's processed right here in Kansas City. So, yeah, awesome.
Okay,
awesome.
Now we're here in Raytown.
Yes, we
first
are.
15 people through the door get the CBD gum,
right.
The gum that all the professionals are using. Also, you can come in here and sign up. This is every week until August 21st. You can sign up for a huge tailgate package from Tickets for Less and Zarda Barbecue, $500 gift card to Tickets for Less, and a tailgate package for 10 from Zarda Barbecue. You can enjoy Zarda Barbecue's award-winning burnt ends at both of their locations in Lenexa and Blue Springs. And, of course, you go for your tickets, you go to the best place ever, and that is Tickets for Less. Best cheese tickets at the best prices. So don't forget. All lined up tonight. Come on in, see us. Sign up for the big tailgate package with Zarda, Tickets for Less, and the first 15 people through the door get the CBD gum. Remember, we're talking about this Masters Golf Tournament. There's Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. Chewing away, folks.
They were.
Just chewing away. So
you, it makes your golf game so much better. Everything you do is makes it better with some CBD gum. I'm even driving better now that I chew CBD gum in the car.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, we had the Chiefs mini camp with all the rookies.
Yes,
just occurred here with all their young guys. We're going to talk to Daniel Harms in Harms Way. He's going to join us via the phone. It's D_Harms19 is his Twitter handle. He breaks down everybody. He breaks down their film. He breaks down what they can do well, what they can't do well, what they have to work on, everything. So we're going to talk to him in the next segment. Great guy, really nice guy. Really got into us late. He was in the Air Force, and he was a mechanic and an engineer in the Air Force. So we're going to talk to him. His backstory is pretty cool, but he has gotten into this. He works for the Arrowhead Guys on arrowheadguys.com, and those guys do a great job. So we decided to get Daniel in here to talk to him a little bit about what's going on with some of these young players. But you are going to now regale us with some stories about your rookie mini camp.
Oh, my gosh.
This should be good.
It really wasn't. The rookies were there for the first day, and then we kind of started working then after with the veteran guys. So I think we were there Thursday. The veteran guys were there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I believe into Monday. But the first day we were there, we were able to kind of get out there with just the rookies and kind of get to know each other a little bit. Didn't do much. Kind of did a lot of, classroom stuff. But I'll never forget when the veteran guys came in and Howard Mudd, who was my offensive line coach, said, you're going to be playing center today. And I said,
Because you were a guard at Notre Dame, correct?
I was.
Offensive guard.
And I wasn't sure. I mean, when they drafted me, they said, you're going to play center. But all of a sudden, it's there, and you're going to have to give you a ball. And you're going to go have to play center at your first NFL practice, playing center for the very first time. So, I had an idea I was going to do it, but you're so caught up in the moment, but all of a sudden it's there. So Howard came up to me in the locker room and said, "Here's a football. I want you to go over across the locker room, introduce yourself to Steve DeBerg, and take a couple snaps." And I said, "Really? Like right here in the locker room? You want me to take the football and walk over to Steve DeBerg and say, 'Excuse me, Mr. DeBerg, is it all right if I snap a couple to you?'" So I walk over there sheepishly, kind of walked over, and there's Steve DeBerg. And I said, "Excuse me, Steve, Mr. DeBerg." By the way, he was about 38 and I was about 22. And I said, "Howard would like me to snap the ball to you because – I really haven't snapped it too many times." How many times? Really none. I've really never done it before. So he said, that California kind of laid back, way that he has. I said, "All right, man, well, let's go. Let's take some snaps." So I get down there and I hit one snap. He goes, "You're fine. I'll see you out there." So I go out there one snap. And then all of a sudden I'm in the huddle. And I'm looking over, and I'm going against Bill Moss, and I'm going against, Leonard Griffin and Mike Bell, and I'm snapping the ball in an NFL practice. So, wow, that was the one thing I do remember. The other thing I remember is my roommate, his name was Ken Hackamack. And Ken Hackamack was a big defensive tackle from the University of Texas. Was about 6'9", about 340 pounds, without an ounce of fat on him. But he was just big and stiff. But when he walked on that field, I walked next to him. Every thought, who's this midget that we just drafted, number 61? And I'm like, "Hack, Ken, don't walk near me. You're making me look bad. I mean, you're 6'10". I'm 6'2". I mean, I'm looking like a little midget walking out here." So that's kind of how but the one thing I do remember is at the end of the camp, and this is the way they did it, guys, and now they've made a rule where the players – they have to go back to the school. They only have a certain amount of days, and then they have to go back. And then I think they report maybe June 1st. But at that point, Marty pulled Zotter and I aside and said, "Hey, we want you guys to hang around and stay here the next couple of weeks. We'll pay for you to stay, but we want you here for the off-season summer workouts from the beginning." And I had to tell Marty, I said, "Marty, listen, I have two finals on Monday and Tuesday that I have to take." And Zotter's like, I'll stay. And Zotter, we look back, he finally did graduate, but he didn't graduate that semester because he never went back and took his finals.
It probably took him a while to graduate,
It too, did. Right? It took him like 5 or 6 years to graduate. But that was a big decision, so I'm glad they don't do that anymore. They kind of make you go back until everybody's kind of graduated, until you can come back and report as a rookie. So I think that's like June 1st now. But that wasn't the way it was. you know, once you were there and you were in the uniform, they wanted you to stay. And that was a lot of pressure. And they all did it. It wasn't just the Chiefs or anybody else. They all did that. And a lot of guys didn't graduate because of that. Because, you know, listen, if I was, you know, 3 years and 11 months into being at Notre Dame, and I wanted to graduate and get out of there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And so I had to make a big decision, and it was a tough decision to make. It really made me nervous about it, but made the decision. Glad I did, and went back right away, but probably a tough decision.
Well, here was the other deal, too. Mike Webster was there then, right?
He was
there because he was the center, and you were going to end up taking over for him that first year?
Yes.
You actually moved in how many games in before you took over that first season?
Well, so in the very first game played against the Minnesota Vikings here at Arrowhead, and if anybody remembers that game in 1990, it was about 100 degrees, and the turf, you remember that hard turf they had, boy. The turf was about 120, 125 degrees. So Webby played the first three series of that game, and then I went in. And then the next game we played against the Denver Broncos on Monday night, and the whole week I was going to start. And then at the last minute, Marty's like, hey, listen, you know, we're up here at Monday Night Football. The crowd's going crazy. It's Denver. You know, we're going to give you a little chance to kind of you know, digest and kind of get a feel for what's going on. So, really, after the first series, I went in. And so, yeah, I was pretty much thrown into the fire. But I had my father passed away later on in the season. I had some injuries. So I did miss a couple games. But Mike Webster is a great mentor for me and a great guy to kind of break me in. And that's a great thing that, you know, Patrick Mahomes had that too with
Alex Smith.
And you know what? As much as we want to malign Alex Smith a little bit for this or that, but you know what? He really, and I talked to Patrick about this, and Patrick was honest with me when he said it. He goes, listen, he was there, answered all the questions. Hey, listen, nobody wants you to take their job, unless you're Mike Webster, who was playing 18 years and didn't want to play anymore. But nobody wants you to take their job. But yet, part of the responsibility of a veteran football player is to pass it on. I did it with Jeff Smith. I did it with Brian Waters. I did it with Lewinberg, who came here from Colorado.
Right.
So we had about four or five guys that I did it for. And, you know, and those guys have done it to other people. That's part of the tradition of the NFL. And these guys are kind of getting a taste of what the NFL is all about by coming to this rookie camp.
Yeah, and how much back in those days, I know it's all changed now, back in those days, did you get the kickback? Did you guys get harassed or you know, the whole thing? But by the – and I know during camp there was, you know, there was all kinds of hazing going on during camp. But how much did you get hazed – by the veterans early on in your career?
If you had a guy, and I had Mike Webster kind of watching out for me, so I didn't get it as bad. But, yeah, you got a little bit of hazing. And you know what? That was part of it. You kind of had to earn your stripes and earn your keep. And you couldn't just walk on the field and expect to have the kind of respect that guys have played in the league for 8, 9, 10, 11 years. You have to earn. You got to get to the back of the line. You got to get to the back of the line in stretching. You got to get to the back of the line at food, you know, for lunch and for dinner. You have to get to the back of the bus. You have to bring the older guys breakfast on Saturdays. You know, you have to do a lot of things. You clean up the room, your offensive line room or your position room. And when you were done in there, whether it was people eating or taking notes, there better not be a scrap of paper on the ground. There was a little bit at training camp, which was, you know, kind of the fraternity kind of deal. But they kind of nipped that in the bud a little bit too. So to answer your question, yeah, there was some hazing. Some of it was serious, some wasn't serious. But they've nipped it in the bud a little bit. It's just like everybody has in our society nowadays. And hazing is something you just don't do. But the thing that I did like about what I had to do is I had to earn the respect of the older guys. I had to carry their pads in. I had to set up their locker. I had to do all those kind of things. And then younger guys had to do that for you. And that was part of the initiation into the NFL.
So there wasn't any taping anybody to old goalposts like they used to do up in River Falls.
Well, no, that, yeah, but that's if you didn't do what you were asked to do.
Right.
I always did what I was asked to do. So I didn't have that happen. And most of the guys in my class, but like you saw guys, and you know, there's been stories about guys who've been taped to the goalpost and guys with maybe a little bit of a pillow party late at night.
Yeah.
If you,
uh-huh.
You weren't telling the line.
If you watch Full Metal Jacket, you'll know what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
just a little respect for the guys, and they'll give you respect back, but you got to earn your stripes.
Yeah, well, that's good. So how nervous were you when you first, when you first arrived? Let alone, I'm not talking game time. I'm just talking about walking in an NFL locker room. Now, you went to a big-time school. Can imagine you were probably a little bit more prepared for it than some guy that went to a, Division I AA or Division II, Division III, or even NAIA school, right?
Well, you're never really prepared for it. It's not really the size of the locker room, or it's not the size of the stadium or all the facilities. It's really just you feel like a kid amongst men. I mean, you're at the most 22 years old, and most of the guys that were in that locker room at that point were between 25 and 35, some older.
Sure.
So these are guys that are 10 years older than you who have more experience. It did look like men, and I'll never forget. That's the same way when you're 17 or 18 years old and you walk into that college locker room for the first time. You look at those guys that are seniors and you're like, wow, those are men. Well, it's exponentially more when you see, especially guys that you know and guys that you've followed and guys that you've watched
right.
on Monday
you've
Night
Football.
You've
heard their names, yeah.
Yeah, the first time I lined up against Mike Singletary, the guy that I had his poster on my wall. The first time you line up against Dan Hampton or Howie Long, or the first time you line up against a Carl Mecklenburg. I mean, those are the moments where you always remember because, you have to just suck it up and go play your game and trust your instincts and trust in your fundamentals and your technique and trust in yourself. Because if you don't and you question yourself, I tell people all the time, the biggest killer in the NFL, the biggest killer really in football is hesitation. If you hesitate because you don't have enough confidence or you don't know what you're doing or you're thinking too much or you're thinking too little, you're going to get beat. And you get beat consistently in the NFL, you don't have a job. So you've got to work your way through that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to speak with Daniel Harms, D_Harms19, a film breakdown analyst. He's going to break down the rookies. We're going to talk about rookie camp. We are at, this is a Crunch Time Roadshow. We're at CBD American Shaman, 9438 East 350 Highway in Raytown, 64113. First 15 people through the door get a free package of CBD gum. And you could also sign up all the way until August, but you can sign up today for the Tickets for Less and Zarda Barbecue huge tailgate package. It consists of a $500 gift card to Tickets for Less and a tailgate package for 10 from Zarda Barbecue. You can enjoy Zarda Barbecue's award-winning burn-ins at both their locations in Lenexa and Blue Springs. And, of course, Tickets for Less, they are your go-to for less.com to get the best Chiefs tickets at the best prices. That's Tickets for Less. .com and Zarda Barbecue. CBD American Shaman, they are the absolute best when it comes to cannabidiol. They are the best on the market, and you can get it right here in our store here in Raytown. And there are lots of other stores spread all over the metropolitan area, and we'll probably be visiting one in your neighborhood coming up. But coming up next, like I said, Daniel Harms will join us, get a little bit of his backstory of how he started all this, and then we'll start breaking down some of these the draft class for the Kansas City Chiefs and some of the free agents they picked up, which is considered the number one free agent class in the NFL, the undrafted free agent class in the NFL. And their draft class was considered about a B. We'll find out how Daniel Harms feels about all that. That's next here on the Crunch Time Roadshow.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time, the Road Show. We're right here in Raytown, Missouri, right off of 350 Highway at CBD American Shaman. Stop in. We already have a couple people stop in and get some of this wonderful CBD gum, CBD-infused chewing gum that all the big-time golfers are chewing to kind of keep themselves calm and make those 10-foot putts. You chew this stuff, you'll make every 10-foot putt. That's right on the box.
Gosh, that's
right on the box.
There you are.
Chew CBD gum, make your 10-foot. And I think that our boy Harms here, we can get him a box when he's watching film. As much film as he watches, I'm sure that he has to maybe just calm down and take the anxiety off a little bit. We'll ship off a box of CBD gum to your next guest. Frank, why don't you introduce him?
I will. We're going to talk to Daniel Harms, who's on the line with us now. He's with the Arrowhead Guys. He is a film analyst. But, Dan, you have a pretty interesting backstory. Give us a little bit quick synopsis of the bio before we get into the X's and O's and the Jimmys and Joes.
Thanks, guys, for having me. So I'm originally from Michigan. I spent most of my early life there. Grew up in a town called Flint, Michigan. Most of you may have heard it with the whole water crisis over there.
Yes, we have.
When I was 18, when I was 18, I left and joined the Air Force. And I was in California for about 7 years. I got out after 4. I met my wife while I was in. We worked at the same shop. So she is still in, and she's an officer in the Air Force, and now we live in Nebraska, which is pretty awesome because I've been a lifelong Chiefs fan, so being 3 hours away from Kansas City was pretty cool hearing about that.
Well, you've done a great job. I've heard you on with Keats. I've heard you on from different people here on 810 WHB and do a great job, and I like a guy who can watch film or break stuff down. It's kind of what you do as a coach, and what you try to teach young players and young kids how to do is watch film. It's not easy to do. Everybody's always drawn to the ball or drawn to their self, and they're not watching the whole picture. So what you do is not easy. I congratulate you on it. It's a great thing to be able to do. Let's talk a little bit about this young class that came in. We had the rookie mini camp, and we have some draft picks that were out there. Let's start out with our first guy, and how do you say his
first? McCole
Hardman, a wide receiver from Georgia. He was graded about a B-plus or a B in most of the draft prognosticators. Quick guy, maybe a Tyreek Hill 2.0 on the field. Can probably do some things that Tyreek can and probably can't. But with your film breakdown and how you watched him play at Georgia, how will he fit into this offense?
Well, first I want to make a point to say that I think the Chiefs were going to take a wide receiver with one of their first three picks, regardless of the whole Tyreek Hill situation. And whether or not Tyreek Hill is on the team, McCole Hardman is going to play, and he's going to play a lot, and he's going to make an impact. Regardless of the Tyreek Hill thing, he's not the best route runner in the class. That's evident by his round grade and where he was and where he was overall drafted. But I absolutely love his burst. The Chiefs believe that he was lasered closer to a 4.27-ish time. So he's going to have that breakaway speed to get away from everyone on the field. He's got really good ball skills. I love that he makes an attempt every time to catch the ball with his hands, not just let the ball travel to him. So the only area that he needs to improve, really, is that I saw was his catch in traffic and his route running. But the catch in traffic is a little bit bigger of an issue on other teams, and Andy Reid loves to scheme guys open. So I think in his first year they're going to work pretty hard to get him open like they do with most other guys. But with Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins on the field, it won't be too difficult to get Hardman some one-on-one opportunities.
When you're talking about Hardman and you're talking about some of the things he did at Georgia that maybe his route running wasn't where it needs to be, was he cutting off routes? Was he not getting the depth in routes? Was he rounding things off? Was he not finishing routes? What were some of the problems that he had with his route running when he was there?
Well, most raw receivers tend to round their routes off a little bit from what I've seen. Since he played corner and quarterback in his previous experience in high school and then transferred over to cornerback when he joined Georgia, it's not easy to learn to run routes, you know, like Tyreek Hill, for example. It takes a lot of hard work and time on the field with coaches. So he adds a little, sometimes in his breakdowns he'll add a bit of an extra step here and there. Like I said, he'll round things off. But what you saw in a play against Missouri, I heard you guys talking about it a couple weeks ago, where he did the double move against Missouri. That right there is what you're looking for, because he's shown the ability to run a nice route and completely fool the defender where he's going. So that's what I think the Chiefs saw in his potential, and that's why I like him so much.
All right, before we move off him, then, you subscribe to the theory that Brett Veach, when he came out and said they had him targeted from the beginning, and since they thought they could get him, that this absolutely had nothing to do with Tyreek Hill?
I always thought that getting a wide receiver was very important for the Chiefs, because if you watch the first half of the New England Patriots game, they scored no points. They didn't have it. The Patriots came with a very good game plan to shut down Hill and Kelce, and the only reason that they were able to really get points is because Watkins and the offense itself adjusted after the first half of the game. And Connelly is not someone that gets off of, like, they used to get off of coverage very easily. Robinson has yet to show that he's consistent and able to do that and run his routes crisply enough to get open, to get that second separation. So I think the Chiefs really needed a third guy to go to when Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins or Travis Kelce is either a little bit injured, as we saw with Kelce. Maybe he lost a tiny bit of a step near the end there, or with teams doubling Hill and then Watkins having a little bit of trouble with his foot. So with the culmination of injuries that the Chiefs receivers have, I feel like they needed to go get one just to be able to keep the offense running smoothly.
Okay, we're talking with Daniel Harms, Daniel_Harms19. That is his Twitter handle. Give him a follow. We're going to now move on. We'll go to Juan Thornhill. Now, here's a guy that was, I think he was a number one rated safety in the class, and they ended up getting him with the 63rd pick. What are your thoughts on Thornhill?
Well, I do believe that the Chiefs had him number one on their draft board, but I don't know if he was the top-rated safety. There's some belief that, you know, Nasir Adderley or some other players like that that went before him were higher. But Juan Thornhill is an impressive player. He's got one of the better 40-yard dashes in the draft class for safeties. He ran a 4.42, which at safety you really need the ability to be rangy, and his speed is going to allow him to touch back up to receivers as they break, try to run past them. But his ability to move his hips smoothly and not allow it to impact his speed and momentum is one of the areas that I think is phenomenal. So when you have a receiver that is running by you, he has the ability to turn his hips on a dime and continue to sprint with them, and then match that with his ball skills. And obviously the Chiefs believe him to be a type of ball hawk safety. I think that he's going to be working very well with Tyrann Mathieu in the Chiefs secondary, 1-2 punch back there. And the safety position is just going to be much more improved than what we've seen in the past with Ron Parker, and I guess what we haven't seen with Eric Berry in the last few years. But all in all, I think Juan Thornhill is going to tandem great with Tyrann Mathieu, and the versatility they both bring is really, I think, what Steve Spagnuolo has coveted so far in his first year as defensive coordinator.
Well, I agree with you. I think Juan Thornhill, if all the draft picks, will be one of the guys that will be playing right away. On day one, he'll be a starter. I don't see Jordan Lucas keeping him off the field. But the one thing I do see him doing very, very well is kind of between the numbers, being able to move and kind of flow between the numbers. If you want to bring up Mathieu up into the box, and he could play the run up in there, would probably get another guy up there. You got a guy who's playing maybe cover three, where he could kind of roam around as a center fielder. I think he'll do a great job. Let's go to the next draft pick that the Chiefs picked up, and that is the defensive lineman Kalen Saunders from Western Illinois. Tell me if you've seen a film of this kid. Number one.
We've all seen the backflip.
Yeah. We've all seen that. Number one, he's playing in an FCS. It's FCS, right? I always get confused.
Yeah, championship. Yeah, it's FCS, a 1-AA.
The FCS level, okay? That's a good level. I mean, it's, you know, you got South Dakota State. You got Western Illinois. There's some really good football programs and some really good football players that play in that level. But is there anything that you've seen with this guy that maybe he was manhandling guys at that level and doing some things at that level that maybe he's going to have to learn to kind of break some bad habits when he gets to the NFL?
Well, I think his frame is what's going to limit him the most. Since he's 6 foot, he has kind of short arms. So when it comes to NFL offensive linemen, he's not going to be able to move them as easily as he moves FCS or even college level tackles or guards, wherever they end up lining him up. But his agility and athleticism is what's going to help him in this area improve in the NFL. I'm not entirely sold on him being a one tech. I'm pretty sure he's going to end up being like a three tech behind Chris Jones. He'll help him take some breaths every now and then. Or they're probably going to see the field a lot in passing situations when they're in the nickel. I can see him and Jones next to each other, just wreaking havoc with stunts and shooting the gap and just his spin moves and the way he is able to swim over everyone. It's just his ability to rush the passer is the real key, I think, as to why the Chiefs brought him in. And his run defense in the NFL is probably not going to be all that great unless he improves his strength a little bit.
So, I think that fits exactly what Spagnuolo wants to do. And, you know, they have the NASCAR defensive line that they bring in where it's basically all defensive ends. But, you know, this is a guy that is a bigger body that can do some of the things you're talking about. And, you know, knowing Spags the way I do and watching him do some of the things with those stunts and slants and twists, TTs and TEs and tornadoes and all the things that they run, he's going to be able to fit in well and do that. And he'll be the nail. He'll be the guy that I think, like you said, he'll go penetrate and he'll go pin, whether it's a center or a guard or maybe even a tackle while guys are twisting around and trying to get into the gap that he's pinning them to. So I agree with you on that aspect that, yeah, he may be – a lot of people think he's going to be the next Nnadi. I don't know if I see that or not. I agree with you. I think that he's more athletic, and he may not be as strong at the point as Nnadi is. So, Frank, what do you want to go to next?
Yeah, we'll go to, the cornerback, and they really need some help at cornerback, and they still need help at cornerback. I think it's the weakest position on the defense right now, besides maybe inside linebackers. But you got Rashad Fenton, the defense back out of South Carolina. What are your thoughts on him? Now, my only thought about the first three guys, I think all three of those guys are going to play a lot this year. I think even Saunders will be able to get himself in the defensive line rotation. I think Thornhill and Hardman are both going to play a lot. Let's go to Rashad Fenton.
No, I agree completely. Those first three picks, I think, are going to play a lot, and they're going to contribute quite a bit. I'm not entirely sure if Saunders is going to find, you know, himself with 6-plus sacks, but I could see maybe 4 from Saunders. But going out on the Fenton, I can't really say that I'm all that impressed with Fenton. I thought the Chiefs were going to take a corner with their third pick, the Saunders pick, and then they ended up, you know, trading the fifth-round pick they had to move up to get Hardman. So they ended up waiting till the sixth round to draft a corner, which we all kind of scratched our heads at a little bit. He doesn't show off the table measurement-wise very much. He ran a 4.5 40. He doesn't have all that impressive of a vertical. I guess really what more he has is long speed. He doesn't have a very great burst or anything like that, but when it comes to playing receivers, bigger guys are going to affect him a bit more. He doesn't have the strength to, you know, play press coverage like some of these guys want to. But all in all, I'm not entirely impressed with Fenton. I haven't seen the upside that some people have when it comes to Fenton. But he does do a good job of keeping his hips, you know, down so he can change direction quickly enough to keep up, to turn around and run with receivers if they're running by him. But and the other thing he does have is he does have pretty good ball skills. He can track pretty decently when it comes to playing the ball in the air. But I personally, I don't really feel that Fenton has enough to even really to press any of the guys we have on the roster. I think Reeser is a better alternative, a better backup to Ward. I even think one of the undrafted free agents, Mark Fields, that we got from Clemson, is ended up going to end up being better than Fenton. But I don't know. This felt like more of a knee-jerk reaction to take a corner in the sixth round to me.
All right, well, I got a couple minutes left, so I do want to ask you about Nick Allegretti, a kid from Illinois that I've kind of watched his career a little bit, being from Chicago, and he's a Chicago kid. Tough kid, nasty tough, played guard. I think he's going to play center in the NFL. I like this kid. I think he's going to contend for a spot. He'll probably end up being the swing guy in the middle. But as you know, we've had injuries inside there. I mean, that's been the thing, injuries. And Jeff Allen's been able to pop in there. Now he's, you know, not going to be around as much. And so talk to us about Nick Allegretti and what you've seen from him. And then let's get to the undrafted free agents real quick.
Because yeah, we'll Chiefs, have him pick because one of his, the best one.
The Chiefs, have really had a great undrafted free agent. And I want to ask you about one guy, and we'll ask you about who you think is going to shine. But let's talk about Nick real quick.
Yeah, I actually just did. My last review was on Allegretti. And I have to tell you, I think he's probably the best value pick the Chiefs got besides Saunders in this draft. I don't know how he fell, because watching him on tape, this guy just, he doesn't let people get by him. He gets engaged, and he pushes him back. I mean, initially he may get pushed back a little bit, but then he digs in, and he pushes guys back. And if not, he tries to get them to the ground whenever he can. He's an impressive pass-blocking center. He was one of the highest-rated pass-blocking efficiency guards in all of college football last year. And I do agree. I think the Chiefs have said as much, actually, that he's going to get a lot of center snaps. And I think he's going to push Ryder, starting center guard this year. I think I absolutely loved what I saw on film from this kid.
All right, let's go to the undrafted free agents. I want to ask you about one guy that I think is really interesting. And I always draw a blank on the guy's name from, I think it's Hill, from the Saints. That we have a guy that John Lovett, the Princeton quarterback, who's an athlete, who's a bigger guy. I think he'd fit in perfectly what they do with Hill down in New Orleans. And I'd love to see what Andy Reid could do with this kid. Is this a kid that maybe could fit into that role a little bit, with maybe a little bit of wildcat quarterback, maybe a little bit in the backfield, maybe rotating over the tight end, maybe putting him out in the slot, just kind of being a full-functioning every-position guy?
I think it's possible. I'm not entirely sure if the Chiefs want to do something like that with a hybrid quarterback-type player like Taysom Hill with the Saints, but I could see him – I think that they eventually want him to become a tight end, from what I hear. Obviously, being converted from a quarterback to an quote-unquote athlete is going to have a lot of different options for him in the NFL. And with Andy Reid, I don't think there's a better coach out there suited, besides maybe Sean Payton, to kind of teach him the ways of an offense and how to get the most out of him.
Daniel, let me ask you a question. Of all the undrafted free agents that they picked up in the Chiefs class is rated number one by certain outlets. Which one, who do you like the best? Who do you think will have the biggest impact?
When I first started doing mock drafts and everything, I always thought that Gary Johnson, linebacker out of Texas, was going to get drafted. I thought he was like at least a fifth or fourth round talent. And then he blew up at the combine with a 4.43 40, and I thought he was going to be drafted, and then he ended up not being drafted, and then he comes to the Chiefs as an undrafted free agent. And I think I made a joke on Twitter that if he's already the third best linebacker on the Chiefs roster, I just outside of Hitchens, which we're all hoping has a bounce back year, and Dorian O'Daniel, there's not much great talent in the linebacker room. And I think Gary Johnson, who can come in and learn from our new coaching staff and was one of the leading tacklers in Texas last year, was a second team All Big 12 And I'm hoping that he comes in and has an impact because I like the speed that he brings to the middle, the possible, like, being a Mike linebacker in this defense.
Right. Any reason why he fell? Did you get any reason why he fell out of the draft?
I haven't seen anything. No one said anything as to why he fell, but honestly, I couldn't tell you.
I'm glad he did. I agree with you.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Daniel, we appreciate you joining us tonight. One of the Arrowhead guys, arrowheadguys.com, Daniel, D_Harms19 is his Twitter handle. Give him a follow. We appreciate you joining us tonight, and we'll probably catch up with you down the line somewhere, Daniel, but all the best to you.
Thank you. You guys, too. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. No problem at all. Daniel Harms joining us, breaking this stuff down. Very thoughtful. Yeah.
Does a great job. All right, guys, we're going to take a break here. We come back. We'll talk a little about it's amazing. The Chiefs haven't played a football game, but yet they're dropping in the power rankings. We'll talk about that next.
I wonder why.
Yeah, right here on Crunch Time, the Roadshow.
Kansas City's hometown sports station. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time Roadshow. We are at CBD American Shaman here in Raytown, 641-33-9438 East, 350 Highway in Raytown. Next week, we'll be with Dr. Jesse Lopez at 7201 West 110th. We'll talk about all the latest and greatest with the cannabidiol market and talk to him about all the breakthroughs they're coming up with. And that will be next week's show. Don't forget, CBD American Shaman, also a great sponsor of a lot of charity things that are done here in Kansas City, including Monday's third and long golf tournament, Staley Farms. All the golfers will tee off about 10 o'clock. It is sold out, but you're welcome to come out and join us, walk around, maybe get some autographs from some of the old-time Chiefs. Some of those guys, they are terrific with everything they do. The Chiefs Ambassadors, Timmy is the president of Chiefs Ambassadors, and they do just tremendous work around Kansas City. They're always showing up to do great things, so you can join us at Staley Farms as well.
Yeah, no, I'm playing in it. I always, you know, first of all, I thank Derek Thomas. After Derek Thomas had his accident, I have worn my seatbelt every day since then.
You bet.
I never, ever wore my seatbelt until that accident happened. And I've talked to many, many people. Jamie, I'm looking over here at Jamie Ward, a very good buddy of ours and one of the big shots at CBD American Shaman. But he was really, really close with DT and the Third and Long Foundation. And I'm looking over at him. And many people have told me that their lives were saved because they put their seatbelts on after Derek Thomas's accident. I mean, he's just touched so many people. So I will always, always be at the Third and Long Foundation Golf Tournament, and I'll play again this year. And it's up at Staley, which is a great course. And CBD American Shaman is a major sponsor for that. I want to thank you guys for what you guys are doing to keep that tournament and Third and Long Foundation going. Third and Long Foundation does so many great things for inner city kids. And
always have.
And Neil Smith has kind of taken over the helm for that. And God bless Neil for what he's done. So, yeah, if you get a chance ever play in this or ever be a part of something that Third and Long Foundation has its name on, or if you pass by CBD American Shaman place and you're like, you know what, I would like to try that stuff sometime. Remember that they do so many great things for charities, including Third and Long Foundation and the Chiefs Ambassadors. So when you go in there, you're supporting the Chiefs Ambassadors, you're supporting Third and Long Foundation, and you're supporting a lot of great charities by shopping at American Shaman, CBD American Shaman, all over the metro area. So
you bet. Great people and great organization, great company. American made, baby. It's all that counts.
Yep.
All right, Chiefs. Tyreek Hill, no Tyreek Hill. They're up and down all over the place on the power rankings. I think ESPN just released one today. And the Chiefs are number one on that power ranking, but they're not number one everywhere. And I think it would be a lot different. They'd be a lot higher on some of these if everybody knew what the final outcome was going to be with Tyreek Hill. But ESPN didn't seem to care, or ESPN believes that Tyreek Hill will be back. So talk about a couple of the other ones.
Well, I think NBC has him third. I think that Nation has him eighth.
Sports Illustrated has him third.
Okay.
NBC has him seventh, right. And NFL.com has them eighth. And I think the first thing everyone says that doesn't have them number one is they don't know the status of Tyreek Hill.
Right, and you know, they don't know the status of how the running back's going to be all year long. You know, when you lose a great running back like Kareem Hunt, you lost him for, you know, 6-7 games, and you could fill people in and they could do well, but can they do well for the whole season? I think they can, but that's a question. The other question is this. You know, they got rid of about 7 or 8 guys on the defensive side.
Totally new defense.
It's a totally new defense with a totally new defensive coordinator with a totally new system. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to work out awesome. I think it's a positive. But, I mean, you have to look at that as something, hey, this is a new thing.
Right. It's a huge question mark.
It's a question mark. So, and really the other thing is, don't forget what Tyreek Hill did, not only in, listen, we all know what he did as a wide receiver, but in special teams. I mean, those chunk yards that he was able to get in the special teams and the punt return field position is so important. That's another question mark. So, Frank, I would, you know what, I think they should be number one, but I could see why some people have 7 or 8. There's a lot of questions that have to be answered, and they'll have to be answered through the summer, through hard work, and in training camp. These questions are going to have to be answered, and we will see. I think the Chiefs are going to be just fine, but there are a lot of questions.
Yeah, and early on, you know, a lot of people are going to test them. They start out with a couple of road games. You know, they're on the road. They're on the road against Jacksonville right out of the chute, and I just dropped my schedule.
Don't worry
in a second.
About it,
I got it right here. They're at Jacksonville and at Oakland the first two games of the season. They're going to try to test that defense. Defense is going to be adjusting because no matter how much they do during the preseason or whatever – nothing. We're not going to tell anything until they get into those football games and start playing for real.
That's right. There's a spurt of away games in the middle of the season too. Because remember, they got 4 games in December at home.
Yes.
So they're obviously in October and November. There's going to be a bunch of road games, and you know you could with a new defense and you know quarterback who's going to have being a sophomore year. Guys, I think he's going to do great, but there are such thing as sophomore slumps. And it's not an easy thing to do. All right, guys. Well, listen, we are at American Shop. And next week, where are we, Frank?
We are at 7201 West 110th Street, right behind the Applebee's, Suite 120 in Overland Park, 66210. Join us there.
And we'll be with Doc. All right. Hey, guys. That's Dr. Lopez.
Lopez, yeah.
Awesome, awesome guy. Hey, guys, thanks for listening in. We'll be on next week at 6 o'clock, I believe. Are we
7 o'clock
next week?
Yep.
All right. So set your clocks for that. All right, guys, you've been listening to Crunch Time.
The official broadcast partner of your AFC West champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Sports Radio 810 WHB.